Hebrews chapter 11. We're discussing the subject of faith and the true characteristics of real faith, not just a professed faith, but a possessed faith, or faith that you possess. I guess you could use it as a faith that possesses you, and what that looks like when we come to our Lord Jesus Christ at salvation, at the point that we yield to Him, we turn from ourselves and we turn to Him. A special unique thing is given to us as Christians, and that is new life. And that new life is this seed of faith that is implanted into us, and it will continue to grow until our sight, our faith, will become sight one day with Jesus Christ. So as we look at this and as we think through this, we have understood that faith has a specific way in our approach to God and how we worship. We saw that through Abel and how he approached God in his worship. It also affects how we approach God in our walk through Enoch. It also affects how we approach God in our work with Noah. We then looked at faith and how it affects our obedience. And we looked at Abraham last week and how he was willing to sojourn through a land that was promised to him, even though he did not receive that land. So now we're going to look at Sarah and see how faith enables God's power to be given through obedience to accomplish his plan through this weakness. All right? So faith enables power to be given to those that are weak, is my point. And we see that in Sarah, verses 11 through 16. Hebrews 11:11-16. Therefore, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you and as we ask for you and enable your Spirit to help us to see the words and to teach us what your will is for us through these words, may we see the true character of faith and see how it affects us and gives us power even in our weakness. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I'd like to look at Sarah, all right? I like to look at Sarah every day because she's my wife, but we're talking about the biblical Sarah here. So first we're going to notice Sarah and look at Sarah. So notice Sarah was at a specific time given strength. She was given intrinsic power, either physically or morally, is what this word strength means. It means to empower in somebody that is in a state of weakness. All right, so why was Sarah given this strength even though she was in a position of weakness? Well, because God had given a promise in Genesis chapter 17. God had given a promise in Genesis chapter number 17 and verse number 17 through 19. Genesis 17 through 19. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So you all know the story in Genesis chapter 12. God begins to promise Abraham this great seed that he would give to Abraham. Abraham in Genesis 15 is promised again a covenant that God would perform this ability to give him a seed in which all the world, all the people of the world would be blessed. We then see in Genesis chapter 16 that Abraham and Sarah have this bad plan to do God's work. And so we see that Sarah gives her concubine Hagar to Adam to be able to bear a child with Abraham. That resulted in Ishmael. So we then move to Genesis chapter 17. After this is done and Ishmael is born, God is coming back and reminding them of the promise. Hey, I promise you, I'm going to give to you a child. It's going to be a miraculous child. It's not going to fit any of your thinking as humans as being possible, but I will give strength because I have promised a specific promise, and it doesn't matter if you're weak or if you're not able to do this thing, you have to trust that I am the God of all power. What enabled them to trust God in that? Faith. Faith enabled them to trust God that he had power to accomplish his promise. Number two, the promise was legitimate even though there were problems. There were problems. Where were the problems stemming from? Well, the lack of assurance that God was able to do what he had promised in Abraham and Sarah. Let's look at Genesis 18, verses 11 through 15. And G 18, 11 through 15. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. So what does this mean? Well, in order to have a child, you have to be able to bear children. And what is the Bible saying in this passage? There's a problem. And the problem is Sarah's past the age physically of being able to have children. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. All right? So here's a problem. Sarah can't have a child. All right? Sarah's past the age of physically being able to have a child, and her husband's 10 years older than her. She's 90, he's 100. That's just old, okay? There's no way around it. And what happens? This promise is given, and everything looks impossible for completing this promise. All right? Have you ever felt that way in your faith? Like there's a promise that God will never leave you or forsake you? But there's a problem that in our day and age and in the culture that we live in, it looks like God is nowhere evident to be seen anywhere around us. There's problems, isn't there? We live in this body of death because of sin that has desires that are contrary to the word of God that we find ourselves sometimes submitting to as Christians. And the devil might creep in and say, there's a problem here. But faith makes us understand that we serve a God in which nothing is impossible and that he has the strength to fulfill his promises in spite of us. And anything that he has promised, he will do by the power of who he is. So many times we as Christians want to look at ourselves as the reason for the assurance of our faith. Do not do that as a Christian. Do not look at your change and how much you've changed and how better of a person you are since you got saved. And, oh, that's my assurance that I'm truly am saved. No, your final and most important assurance that you're saved is, thus saith the Lord, and God has declared it so. I'm not saved because of my righteousness. I am saved because God has imputed or reckoned or placed upon me the righteousness of His Son. And therefore, I live a different life, not because I have the power to do it, but because I yield myself to a power that's been implanted. And even though there's problems in the flesh, and even though there's desires that are contrary to the new nature that has been given to me in salvation, I understand that God will keep His promises. And I trust that God will keep His promises through that, even through my failure. Now, I'm not using salvation as a reason to live a loose life, right? I'm not saying that you get fire insurance once you're saved. I remember growing up as a young person, and there was certain conferences that would come to our church, and there was one guy that would pass out this track or this thing that was explaining God and His love, and it was insurance card, and it was fire insurance. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ has felt the full punishment of God's wrath on sin for us, so we don't have to feel the punishment of hell if we put our trust in Him. Amen. That's a great promise, isn't it? But even more than that, I have entered into this unbreakable relationship with Jesus Christ, and I am now in union with Jesus Christ, and He gives me new motives, and He gives me new direction, and He gives me the opportunity to yield who I am to Him for the purpose of obeying His will in my life. Very important that we understand that. Right? So we're not preaching some types of loose living. If you've been here long enough, you know that's not how I preach or how we preach, because Pastor Unger preaches once a week too. We don't preach on this once saved, always saved means of living a loose, sinful life. We believe that there is power in our salvation through the union that we have with Jesus Christ. However, if we are honest as a Christian, each and every one of us knows that we fall very short of the reality that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We all fall short, even in our saved state, of God's perfection for us while we live in this body of flesh. All right? When I entered a new relationship almost 13 years ago, this December, with Sarah, my wife, we entered into a union of being married to one another. That doesn't mean that everything has been perfect, right? Really close to perfect, but not quite perfect. But we're still married, right? We still have a relationship. And if I were to break that relationship, I'd be an adulterer, right? I would be a vagabond, the biggest, I don't know what else to say, jerk you could ever imagine, right? And vice versa, if she did the same thing, it would be true of her. We don't break marriages because we go through rough times. God doesn't leave us because there's problems in our life. God stays with us, and He works with us, and He builds that relationship closer to Him. Here, Sarah has this problem. I'm old. I'm past the ability of bearing children. What did God do? God empowered her to be able to bear children. So we're looking at this. What did faith give to Sarah? Well, faith gave Sarah a promise. Faith made the promise legitimate even through problems. And then finally, faith to Sarah, not finally for the rest of service, don't get excited. Faith through gave God's presence to Sarah. So when things are very hard on Sarah, before we become very hard on Sarah and say she laughed at God, we have to understand that Hebrews calls her a woman of faith, right? Before we get too hard on any of the Old Testament patriarchs, and many of them made some really bad decisions, we have to understand that God called them children of faith. Let me stop here and make this application quickly. Before we get too hard on ourselves as Christians, understand God calls you a person of faith. You're a child of faith. Huh? So we don't need to sit there and boast or play over in our how many of you guys like are don't raise your hands for this, but how many of you can play something over in your mind so much that you get stressed out about it? Huh? This baptismal service has played over my mind so much, I'm starting to get stressed out about it. I'm just ready to dunk you guys quick and be done with it. No, I'm joking. So, we get stressed out about things, don't we, sometimes? Well, if we just focus on all our failures, we're going to start getting stressed out about that. We're going to say, man, why am I made this way? Why am I doing this these things this way? Why do I keep on failing in this? And if you continually put that in your mind, that's the path you're going to go down. Don't do that. Think of what God has done for you. So God enabled to accomplish his promise to Sarah, gives her his presence. Look at Genesis 21, verses 1 and 2. And I love this verse because it tells us what faith enables. People that will accompany us because of our faith. Whew, that was bad. Verse 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken of him. So what happens here? In order to complete a promise that God had given Sarah, what did God do? God visited Sarah. God empowered Sarah to be able to conceive, even though she was dead physically in the ability to conceive. So, I'm not saved because of anything I do. I'm saved because God visited me. I didn't come in like, you know, a vision or anything. I read the Word of God. The Spirit of God dealt with my heart. I was convinced and convicted that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I turned from any dependence I had in myself of running my life, of righteous or self-righteousness that I had, and I accepted Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. So, in doing so, I showed that I was yielding myself to God's call to me. All right, but God had to visit me first. God had to produce the desire of salvation in my heart through His Word and through the Holy Spirit's power in my life. In the same way, Sarah was visited by the Lord. The Lord gave her strength to obey the natural course of how people have babies, and though she was dead in her ability physically, God gave her new life. And then she obeyed God in that his desire, and this is the last point that we were going to look at about Sarah. Faith was able to help her understand her place in God's plan. Her place in God's plan. 1 Peter 3, 5 and 6 says, "For after this manner in old times, the holy women also who trusted in God ordained themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as on Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, even as Sarah obeyed James, calling..." No, I'm joking. "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Now, this is specifically talking about when God comes to Abraham and directs him to leave a city that they were comfortable in. And then to go, and he was a rich man, but they still lived in tents. And they were nomads all over a promised land that they didn't receive, but their children would receive. Well, they're not their immediate children, but their progeny would receive. So what am I saying here? This is very important. Faith enables us to understand that we have a place and position in God's promises. What I cannot do is I cannot say, if God did this for Abraham, if God did this for so-and-so, then he'll do the same thing for me. So when I preach on Joshua, I'm not going to sit there and say, go out and pick you five smooth stones and find the biggest enemy you have and sling that at their head so you can chop their head off. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm going to do. Why? Because that was God's plan for David. It's not his plan for me. And even in prayer, we have to understand, as I teach more in prayer on Wednesday nights, we have to understand we have a position here in prayer. We're not trying to get God to just do all of our wants. We have to understand he knows our needs before we even ask. And it was very interesting because remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, hey, I have this thorn in the flesh that I need you, God, to take away from me. And he asked him three times and God's spirit told him, no, you need this thorn in the flesh so that you'll be weak so I can be strong in your weakness. So, faith enables us to take steps in our position and place. What if Sarah, and I'm trying to say this tactfully, but it's important to state this. What if Sarah would say, I don't believe I can get that Abraham can impregnate me, so I'm not going to take steps of faith for him to be able to impregnate me. They were given life where there was death, but they still became pregnant in the natural way that people could become pregnant. Okay? She understood, I'm in this place, I, yielding to God, will obey and go through the natural steps that I have to do so God can show his power in and through me. So many times we're willing to see the great sparkles of what God can do. But we're very unwilling to take practical steps of faith in everyday life and know our place in God and making those steps. And I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at me, because if you get anything while I'm preaching at me, thank goodness, but this is a huge thing. I have this personality, and you may have a personality that likes to see the sensationalism. Yeah, I mean, I love hearing stories of how 5,000 people came to Christ. And I would love to have this huge thing and have five loaves and two fish and be able to break them and feed 5,000 people. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? That's not my place in God's plan. My place is to consistently preach in a culture that really doesn't care about God very much. All right? But that's my place. What's your place? It might not have all the bells and whistles, but God's presence is with you in the place that he calls you to be in. And by faith, we can accept that. Second, notice the results of Sarah's faith. Hebrews 11:12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sands of is by the seashore, innumerable. So what happened? Life sprang from death because of faith. Isn't that good? He's dead. He's not able to have children, but through faith, that which was dead is now made alive. Romans 4:19-21. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Faith enables you to trust God's promises and trust that God will perform his promises. Second, life multiplied. So notice there are results of faith. First, life from death. Second, life multiplied. So many as the stars of the skies and multitude in the sand, which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So first of all, we understand that life multiplied is through the priorities that were established because of faith. Hebrews 11:14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. First, they declare their priorities and declare it plainly. They make known what God's will is for their life and the direction they want to go in God's will. See, there's this syncretism. There's this adding on of the world and adding on of religion in today's churches. Now we need to declare, and faith will help us to declare our priorities very quickly. Not just declare, but live by our priorities quickly. Why? Because faith helps us change our perspective on our priorities. Before I was saved, it was all about pleasing myself. Now that I'm saved, I have a new desire to please God. That never was in me before I was saved. That was never in you before you were saved. How can I say that? Well, because of Romans chapter 6. Ye were servants of sin unto death before you were saved. You gave yourself totally to the desires of the flesh before you were saved. Now, it might have looked different. You might have been very moral. You might have had very moral standards before you were saved. But the thing about it is, it was all for self-gratification of, wow, people look at me. The pride of life. Look at what a good person I am. Do you see those people over there? You know how we can tell that we're saved? By our grace to others. Because we know that God has shown us so much grace. When I look and I think about the grace that God extends to me, I can deal with anything and anyone. When I forget about the grace of God, I can deal with hardly anyone. And we need to remember that as Christians. God has extended much grace to us. Their perspective changed because of faith. Hebrews 11:15. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You remember when the children of Israel left Egypt? And then things began to get hard in the wilderness. What did they start to complain of? Man, back in Egypt, we had onions and leeks and garlic and everything that... Yeah, but you were getting beat, your children were getting killed, and you were slaves. But, man, before I was saved, I didn't feel bad if I missed church. Before I was saved, I could just live any way that I wanted to with no remorse for it. But now that I'm saved, like... In my business, I have to actually worry about other people. How I work at the job site, I have to worry about other people. When I do what is wrong and against the spirit, I have conviction and I don't feel good about myself. Man, before I got saved, I didn't have to worry about all this. Yeah, but you were on your way to an eternal punishment. And now you have eternal life. What is your focus as a Christian? What's your priority? Man, if they constantly thought about what they used to have in the old man, look at our father in Genesis chapter 11 and our ancestry. We built great things. We had this unbelievable society that we were a part of. And now we live in a tent. And we're constantly having to take the tent and walk all over this land of promise. We had palaces before we committed to Christ. Yeah, you also had eternal punishment before you committed to Christ. So faith enables us to have a different perspective about this life. What did they focus on? They focused, if you're getting baptized, you can leave at this time. What did they focus on? They focused on the promise. They focused on the promise. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What is happening here? They didn't focus on what they had at that moment. They focused on what God had promised them. So first of all, through their desires, meaning to covet, they longed after, they desired, they became ambitious for what God had promised. There was this ambition for a better country. There was ambition that they understood that the things that they were chasing after that were promised for them was better in nature, better in dignity, better in excellence than anything this world could promise or give to them. That's what faith does. It makes the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. Faith enables us to understand that we might not have very much. Well, just to let you know, Canadians, right now we have more than 90% of the rest of the world, and we probably 95% of the rest of the world. We have a lot of blessings to be thankful for. We have a lot of concerns about what the rulers of this world want, because they're being led by Satan. See, I don't like to get in politics, but I wish politics would stay out of my business too. You understand what I mean by that? Like, Pastor James, don't preach on politics. Well, tell the politicians not to get in my business and I won't preach about it. But as soon as they start stepping into my business, I am important. It's important for me as the pastor of this church to say they're wicked, evil people that are given over to Satan. The World Economic Forum is a wicked, evil entity that our prime minister worships. Does anybody understand that? Can I make that any plainer where I stand on what we should be doing? They are creating havoc for more control. That's scary. But I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on obeying God. They say, Pastor James, what if they say you're going to go to jail if you keep the doors open? Well, I have to focus on the promise. I have a heavenly country that I have to live for. And this so-called new crisis that isn't a crisis isn't going to close the doors to this church. So, we don't focus on the things of this world. We focus on the power of God and the promises of God. Right? And we follow them. I just want to make it very clear. If we get our taxes raised and everything else, I'm not going to preach about it from the pulpit. Okay? we can vote all that in. But if they say I'm not allowed to preach against what the Bible clearly teaches against, and I'm not allowed to keep my doors open because of some made up, no, I'm not saying the last pandemic was made up. It was created by our government to kill us. But I'm not going to close our doors because of some edict that isn't from God. I'm going to have faith to look and follow the promises of God and say, no, God says to keep the doors open to the church, and that doesn't mean Zoom church. That means church church. So we have a focus on the promise. How do we know that we're focusing on the promise? Through our desires. What do we covet and long after by the power of faith? Do we long after the things of this world, after the social attentions of this world, the social approvals of this world? Look, Christian, it's going to be really, really easy for us today. Thank God for one thing about this world. It's going to be really, really easy today for you to be different in your desires than the world's desires. You should be desiring completely different things than your unsaved friends desire. Why? Because you're a child of faith. Secondly, through their deduction of the value of things. They looked at things as being better. Heavenly things are better than earthly things. How do we know that? Through faith. Through faith. So, what does faith give us? Faith gives us the opportunity to be accepted by God. Hebrews 11:16. God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God identifies with you because of faith. And when you're giving over to that new nature and living a life of faith, God is saying, that's my child. I mean, as parents with children, remember times that you're like, yeah, that's my child. And other times I'm like, that's whose child? Yeah. I think God is the same way. That's my child. He's living by faith. And God is providentially preparing for you. John 14:1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So by faith I have place in heaven being prepared for me by Christ himself. So just a few thoughts about faith this afternoon. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We just pray that you would be with us. Guide us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you.